The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When the vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper times." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. By the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew that he was speaking about them. And although they were attempting to arrest him, they feared the crowds, for they regarded him as a prophet. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In a way, today's Mass helps us get prepared for what we'll be observing 4 weeks from today on Good Friday. That gospel line, when the Father says, "They will respect my Son," and then we hear how they didn't, that line can be said about what the Father above said about his Son Jesus when he sent to us, "They will respect my Son," but he was not disrespected. That's history, but unfortunately, that story goes on because we know that the Lord Jesus is still disrespected in so many ways in the world today. And we pray that in our own personal lives, we're never a source of that disrespect. But what I really want to talk about today is more the story we heard in that first reading, the story of Joseph. Because it's an ugly story. I mean, because of the jealousy of his brothers, they wanted to kill him. And then one of the brothers said, "Well, let's not kill him. We can just sell him off as a slave for people in Egypt." Sometimes terrible, terrible things happen. We say, "Well, how could God let things like this happen?" Because when bad things happen to good people, like what's going on right now in Ukraine, we go, "How can this be?" Well, I think we Christians do need to step back and remember, of course, that the ugliest thing that ever happened was the crucifixion, the disrespect of the Son of God. And the good news is that God is able to bring good things out of sad, even ugly things. I know that in my own life, one of the challenges I had to deal with was the fact that I was a son of my father from his second marriage. His first wife died in surgery, and he had a young daughter, and he wound up marrying again and wound up getting another son, getting me and my younger sister. And I always felt strange about that because I thought, oh, my father and my older sister had to go through that suffering before I would even be able to have life, the gift of life. I'd like to think that the pain and suffering that they bore back then, which they never showed to me, they were always great to me. I always kind of wondered what my older sister thought about the fact that, you know, her mother had to die for her to have this brother and this other sister. But I think they both felt that Marion and I were good results from the difficulty of losing my Aunt Hetty and my father's first wife. Even our father Peter, when he came to Oregon, he got a job at a bicycle shop. I remember he told me, and he wasn't quite sure what to do with his life. And he, I think you probably know, having had him around for a couple of years, that he's a bike. He's good at lots of things, but he can also repair your bike if you need it fixed. The shop closed after 6 months, and he was without a job. Not from Oregon at all. He came and worked near the cathedral and started going to morning mass. One thing led to another, and suddenly he gets more involved in the church. He goes to the seminary. You have a parish priest. Out of the fact that he had to go through the, you know, wondering and the sadness of losing a job. And my point being that let's all remember when these difficult things happen to us and we feel badly about them, that's real. But even in pain, suffering, ugliness, like that story about Joseph and his brothers, God can bring good things, and we ask God to do that. That's why I think I've said here before, but that beautiful answer that Mother Teresa gave that one man one time, and he said, "Sister Mother Teresa, how do you do it? I want you to help me. I want to pray for clarity about what God wants of me in my life. I want some clarity." And I'm sure that Thomas, as he goes to the monastic community tomorrow, would like some clarity about what this is all going to mean in the end. And Mother Teresa gave a beautiful answer. She said, "Well, I don't pray for clarity." She said, "I pray for trust. I pray for trust that God will take care of me in whatever happens in the future." And that's what I pray the Ukrainian people are praying for today, that somehow or another God will be able to bring something good for them out of this suffering and loss that they're experiencing. And we want to pray for that in our own lives as well.